May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and salvation. Amen. Get myself organized here. So for those of you who are new, my name is Melody, and I'm the deacon here. That's one of the ordained ministries at St. George's. And the reason I'm speaking to you today is because David is away. So nothing to worry about, all is well, but he does get a day off from time to time. So you get to listen to me, or have to listen to me, whichever, depending how this goes. So before we get into it, I'll just recap on what Roxanne said earlier, that today is a bit of a special day on the church calendar as we recognize the ministries of St. Peter and St. Paul. So I'm just going to give you a couple of fun facts. Peter, patron saint of net makers, shipbuilders, and fishermen. Not a surprise. But because he was also reportedly given the keys to heaven, he's also the patron saint of locksmiths. Now, Paul is the patron saint of missions, writers, and publishers. Again, not a real surprise given what we know of Paul. They are both also co-patron saints of Rome. And according to the most recent Pope Benedict, it's because there were two pagan founders of Rome, Romulus and Remus, so there must be two patron saints of Rome as well. So, next time we have a trivia night here at St. George's, you have answers to some possible questions. Okay, so on a more serious note about Peter and Paul, we know they were both pillars of the early church in different ways. They were both active in the church just at and after the death and resurrection of Jesus. Both of them were later imprisoned in Rome and executed by the Roman authorities, not at the same time. Peter, as we know, was one of Jesus' very close disciples. He was one of the 12, one of the first ones called by Jesus. So he traveled with Jesus and he learned from Jesus directly. He became, as predicted by Jesus, the rock on which the church was built. Peter was the one who addressed the crowds at Pentecost to explain what was happening with all the people speaking in languages, different languages, and preached the good news. Many consider Peter to be the first official head of the church, the first pope. Now, when Jesus first encountered Peter, he asked him to drop everything and follow him. And Peter did. In the reading we heard from Luke that Roxanne read to us a few minutes ago, we know that Jesus gave this invitation to other people whose response was, yes, but first let me do this. First let me bury my father. Let me sort things with my family. That's not the type of follower Peter was. Peter didn't respond with, yes, well, just let me sell the fish, tie up my boat, sort things with my family, and then I'll follow you. He just dropped everything and followed Jesus. No strings, no bargains. Just an unquestioning response to Jesus' call. Paul, on the other hand, never learned anything from Jesus directly. He never followed him around as one of his disciples. Paul, in fact, was a persecutor of the early followers until he encountered the resurrected Jesus on the road to Damascus and was transformed by that. Now, Paul's response to that encounter was to immediately do what Jesus said, go see these people, go learn, and learn about Jesus. Paul, of course, we know, would take the good news from Judea through Greece, Macedonia, and to Rome. We know about him from the book of Acts, through the writings of his sometime companion Luke, and from his own extensive writings that were preserved through history. So to segue, one of those writings of Paul's was his letter to the Galatians, which we just heard a piece of. Now, Paul wrote this letter while he was a prisoner in Rome. Paul was imprisoned for preaching the gospel, and his first words to everybody, you are called to be free. The first chapter was for freedom. Christ has set us free. So he's not a free man. He's in prison, and he's talking about being free. You know, that's kind of mind-blowing that here's Paul imprisoned for doing the very thing that he's telling people to do, because it will make you free. So what does he mean by free? Looking at the themes of slavery and freedom are very popular for Paul. So what does he mean if you're a slave, and what does he mean if you're free? He's pretty clear. Slavery is about the flesh, the material world, and freedom is about the spirit. So what do we mean by slavery? Let's start with the bad news here. Now, nobody here is a slave, at least I hope not, in the sense that we're owned by another person, that we are actually property of another person. That was common in the time of Paul. But we may not be an actual property of somebody, but very often there is something we feel like we are tied to that we can't escape. It may be the job you get up to and go to only because you need that paycheck. Or maybe you can't be far from that phone, you just need to pick it up and scroll and see what people are saying and what's happening in the world and what that latest video on that cat is about. Or maybe there's some type of addiction that has a hold of you. Or maybe you've just thought, well, if A would change, if B would change, then everything would be okay. If this were different, you know, I had a different job, I had a different house, I'd be free. If I had more money, if I had a better car, if I had the latest game, if I had the latest gadget, then things would be good. I wouldn't be stuck. Not that there's anything inherently bad about any of those things, but it is when it becomes the center of our life, or the reason for being, or the reason we can't live. So Paul gave some ideas of how this manifests. Some of them that are probably more common to us, hatred, discord, dissension, envy, rage. We see this often around us, don't we? We look on social media and see the toxicity. We see the road rage happening, or maybe feel it in ourselves, you know, through the elections, we saw polarizations of beliefs and all the negativity that comes around that. We just become stuck in all of that. All of that just seems to drag us down. Well, that's what slavery is, the flesh, the world, the stuff we get stuck in. And the problem with that is you can't work your way out of it. You know, you can't just do the right thing and it make it better. You can't just, you know, be good and make it better. That's still there. You can't just follow the Ten Commandments and make your life better. You can't just follow the rules and make it better. You know, just saying, well, I won't get angry, I won't swear, I'll go to church, I'll be pious, I'll be nice, I'll do that. Paul was a strict follower of the law himself, following the rules, doing the right thing. But even he came to that realization that we cannot save ourselves. We cannot work things out on our own. We need something else. We can't free ourselves, but we can find freedom. And Paul writes, we are set free in Christ. We don't have to save ourselves. We can't save ourselves, and we don't have to save ourselves because God has already done it. He's done it through Jesus. He's done it through Jesus' teachings. He's done it through the cross. He's done it through the resurrection. He has sent the Spirit to work in us, to free us, to let us know that we aren't tied to that. We don't have to be that person. We can be free of idolatry of things, of jealousy of another, of selfish ambition. We can be free of rage and all those things that Paul referred to as acts of the flesh. It's just about how we move on. When Peter responded to Jesus, he followed Jesus and let go of everything. He let go of his life, he let go of his work, he let go of his things. When Paul chose to follow Jesus, he was freed of the anger and hate that had been driving him. They turned to God and found freedom. And of course, Paul also cautions that being free isn't just saying, well, I don't have to change anything, I don't have to do anything. I can live, I can stay in here because it doesn't matter. God's freed me anyways. You know, it's how I respond. What do I do with that freedom God has given me? It's not a free past. It's about following God and doing what is right in the Spirit. God's love is for everyone. God's love is for me. God's love is for you. And God's love is for you. So if we are truly going to walk in the Spirit, as Paul puts it, we're going to look through everything through the lens of love, the love God had for us, the love we have for God, and the love we have for one another. These were, as Jesus taught us, the greatest commandments. Love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And this isn't even something Jesus made up. This is something that goes back to the Old Testament. But Jesus took that further and said, yes, love one another as I have loved you. As God loves you, so you love one another. We walk with God and we walk with each other. And that means love without conditions, without ties, without the baggage that we associate with the material world, without the envy, without the dissension, without the discord, without the hate. So when we choose to do this, when we decide to follow Jesus and turn our back on the flesh, on the world, or stuff, or whatever you want to call it, what do we gain? Well, we gain, as Paul told us, love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the gifts of the Spirit. These are the fruits of the Spirit. And that is freedom. It is freedom because there are laws against hatred. There are laws against theft. There are laws against all the bad things. But there is no law against love. There is no law against joy. There is no law against patience or kindness or goodness or faithfulness or gentleness or self-control. You are free. You are not tied to anything when you have that. There is no law, there is nothing against that. So, just like Jesus called Peter and Paul and the unknown people in the gospel reading, Jesus is calling us every day, every moment. We can follow him, or we can listen to the voice of the world. We can say yes to God, or we can say yes, but not yet. Given that everybody's here, I'm pretty much comfortable that you are all saying yes. But is it yes or yes but? Are you going to choose, are we all going to choose the way of freedom, freedom in the spirit, or slavery to the world? Given you're all here, again, I want to remind you that we do not take this journey alone. Nobody is asking you to do something by yourself. You never take this walk alone. All of our Christian life is done in community. We have people who will pray for you. We have people who will pray for you after I'm done talking during the next songs. Maybe you want to ask them to pray for you, to ask where the Spirit is leading you, to ask you to see the way clear to follow Jesus without restrictions. Maybe just sort of a general request, or it could be a specific request. And beyond the service, we have resources. Resources you can find on the website, mostly stgeorgemapleridge.ca. You can find wait lists for various programs like Alpha or Anglican 101, or you can reach out about joining a life group to find a closer community to walk with on your Christian journey. But you should also not be walking alone again. Find someone, find a group, and take the walk together. If you are interested in baptism or confirmation, please contact David through the website again, and somebody can follow up with you on that. So I'm just going to conclude and pray together. Lord God, we thank you that you've given us the example of Peter and Paul, who left everything and followed you. We know you're speaking to us all the time. We know you're asking us to turn to follow you, to follow the way of Jesus. We ask you to help us with whatever chains are holding us back, whatever has tied us to this world, whatever is standing in our way. We ask you to show us the way to find freedom in you, to find freedom in the Spirit, to live that whole complete life that you want so much for us. We ask this all in Jesus' name through the Holy Spirit. Amen.